Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 13 April, 2025, Romans.
All right, before we get started, a couple of announcements. First of all, if you could remember to turn in your Vacation Bible School form to Deb, greatly appreciate that. So those of you who were there for the introduction of that, we are having Vacation Bible School this summer. So remember to turn in your Vacation Bible School form to Deb. That's the first order of business. And we had the church work day yesterday. It was fantastic. And we have available anyone interested in camping gear, sleeping pallets in particular. They're available. Check, it's down the hall, one of the rooms, get one of the deacons and they'll take you there. Well, you're welcome to it. They're free. So camping gear, sleeping pallets, see one of the deacons and they will take you to the room. Take what you want. Take everything if you want. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We realize, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8, we'll take a look at the corrected translation starting at verse 8. Romans 8, 8. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh, that is, under the authority and control of the sin nature, absolutely are not able to please God. However, verse 9, you are not in the flesh. You're not under the control of the sin nature, but in the Spirit, assuming that the Spirit of God dwells in you, and he does. But if anyone does not have the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, from Christ, this one, the unbeliever, does not belong to God. And then verse 10, in fact, if Christ is in you, That's first class condition, and he is in you. In the dispensation of the church age, which we're living in, the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are indwelt not only by God the Holy Spirit, making your body a temple, but you're indwelt by the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, the indwelling of Christ. And that introduces a great doctrine, one of the most important doctrines for you to understand as church age saints, as royal family of God, this unique fact that Jesus Christ indwells every one of you. So in verse 10, in fact, if Christ is in you, first class condition, and he is, this is the indwelling of Jesus Christ. On the one hand, the body is subject to death because of the sin nature. But on the other hand, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. And that's the righteousness that is imputed to you at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, justification by faith. So God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life, Romans 8:10. And that puts the spotlight on the salvation ministries of God the Holy Spirit, specifically the sealing ministry of the Spirit, the regeneration ministry of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, and the indwelling and filling of the Spirit. The sealing ministry of God the Holy Spirit is the signature guarantee, a guarantee that your name remains in the book of life forever. At regeneration, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. And then at the moment we believed in Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes us into union with Christ, and therefore we share what Christ is, i.e., we share his eternal life, and we share his absolute righteousness. And at the moment you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells your body, and he fills your soul. And the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit serves as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, so that you can live this unique spiritual life that God has given to us in the church age. As the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit provides the divine power so that you can live the unique spiritual life of the church age, so that you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and retain spiritual maturity, and so you can glorify God to the maximum. Both the sin nature and the Holy Spirit, they both reside in your body, the body of the believer. And therefore, there is a great inner conflict going on inside of every believer. And the conflict is, who is going to control your soul? It's up to you. You decide. You have a free will. You have a volition. If you make bad decisions to sin, well, you turn your soul over to the sin nature. If you make good decisions, well, to rebound after you sin and get back into fellowship with God and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then God the Holy Spirit controls and fills your soul. And there's nothing better than that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And that very first word, the fruit of the Spirit, is love. When you got a list like that, the first word is the key. All the rest of it is a part of that first word. That first word, the fruit of the Spirit, is love. virtue love, and then all the other parts, love, joy, happiness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's all a part of virtue love, the fruit of the Spirit. In Romans 8:10, we have that phrase, if Christ is in you, first class condition, and He is. And that introduced us to one of the most important doctrines we can learn in our life here in the church age, the indwelling of Jesus Christ. Now, we started the doctrine last Sunday. We studied the first 2 points. We just barely got started. But let's go over those first 2 points. Point one was the prophecy of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. And we saw that in John 14, verses 19 and 20, where the Lord Jesus Christ was holding Bible class, and He says, I am in my Father. And when He said that, that was the statement declaring the deity of Christ. And then He said, and you are in Me. That was the prophecy of the baptism of the Spirit at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, where we are entered into union with Christ. And then He said, and I am in you. I am in you. A declaration of the indwelling of Jesus Christ in the church age believer. The indwelling of Jesus Christ is totally unique to the church age. The church age is the dispensation of the royal family of God, and therefore it has certain unique factors, which include the fact that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit indwells every church age believer. And then we study point two, which was the verification of the indwelling of Christ and our Lord's prayer for the church in John chapter 17, one of the greatest prayers ever given. John 17, 22 and 23, and John 17, verse 26. That brings us to point three of the doctrine of the indwelling of Christ. I just got a little stuff in my throat. I got to have a... Oh, it's just tea. Point three, the indwelling of Jesus Christ relates to the word mousterion. Mousterion. It's the Greek word M-U-S-T, long E-R-I-O-N. Now, this is a very special technical word in the New Testament Scriptures. Now, we get from the English word mystery, comes from mousterion. But this is not the kind of mystery you think about, like a chiller thriller and all that kind of stuff. This is church age truth. Church age truth that was never known about. It was never known about in the Old Testament. This was revealed by God to the apostles in the New Testament. For the church age. This is church age truth for you and for me, so that we can live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. Very important word, mousterion. So the indwelling of Jesus Christ relates to the mousterion, the mystery doctrines of the church age. And I'd like to have you turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 29. Colossians 1, we'll start at verse 25. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 25, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. Now look what he says, verse 26. The mystery, mysterion, there's our word. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. Nobody knew about the church age. Nobody knew about the church age truth in the Old Testament. This is totally something God has provided for you and me as royal family of God. Present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mysterion, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints, to you and me, royal family of God in the church age. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, mysterion. And what is the glorious riches of this mystery? Which is Christ in you. That was never, there was no indwelling of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. This is something totally unique in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. And in this church age, we have something totally unique, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with wisdom, so that we may present everyone, and the Greek word is teleos. I think the word, the word I have in my Bible is perfect. Well, I got news for you. None of you are perfect, okay? So what does it mean? T-E-L-E-I-O-S, teleos. This is the word for spiritual maturity. For spiritual maturity. So he said, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone teleos, a spiritually mature believer, so that you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and reach the objective. The objective is to attain spiritual maturity. When you believe in Christ, the gun's gone off. You're out of the blocks, and you just started running. But the objective is to cross the finish line. What's the finish line? Spiritual maturity. God, when you start out at salvation, you're a baby. God doesn't want you to stay a baby, and then we have a lot of Christians today, they're spiritual babies. They've never grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Or they've gone a little way, they're adolescent believers. But God wants you to go all the way to spiritual maturity. When you attain spiritual maturity and cross the finish line, that's when you glorify God to the maximum. That's when you fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. And that ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And that's made up of three parts. First of all, personal love for God the Father. You see, you can't love someone you don't know. You have to know the Father. You have to know who and what He is. You have to know His essence, His attributes. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you know God. You know who and what He is. And when you know Him, then you love Him. Personal love for God the Father. And the second category is impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind. That's no exceptions. Impersonal love for all. And the third part is occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is plus H, sharing the happiness of God. That's That's the ultimate objective. When you cross the finish line, you see, you believe in Christ, the gun's gone off. You're a spiritual baby. That's, you're just beginning. God has a fantastic plan for you, the best plan ever. And He wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity. He wants you to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when that happens, now you have you're glorifying God to the maximum. So here we have it here. We proclaim Him, Christ in you, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone a spiritually mature believer, a teleos believer in Christ. To this end, I am laboring, striving. I am constantly striving according to His power, which is powerfully working in me. This is a great, great passage, Colossians 1:25-29. So the indwelling of Jesus Christ relates to mysterion, the mystery doctrines of the church age. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, let's get a couple of points to amplify what we have here. First of all, one, the riches which God has given to you have a source. And the source is God's glory. The riches which God has given to you have a source. And the source is God's glory. Two, you have both the riches and the source. And who is the source? The Lord Jesus Christ. You have both the riches and the source, Jesus Christ, the source of the riches indwelling you. You have both the riches and the source of the riches, Jesus Christ, indwelling you. Three, Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory indwelt the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament time. Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory indwelt the tabernacle and the temple in the Holy of Holies. There in the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ dwelt. So Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory indwelt the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament, not only as a guarantee of Israel's security, not only as a guarantee of Israel's security, but also a guarantee of their prosperity and blessing. Jesus Christ dwelt in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle and the temple as a guarantee of Israel's security, but also as a guarantee of Israel's prosperity and blessing. Four, now Jesus Christ indwells you as a guarantee of your security. And riches and your fantastic blessings. Now Jesus Christ indwells you as a guarantee of your security and your fantastic blessings, riches described here. Now if Jesus Christ indwelt a building in the age of Israel, and He did, how much greater is the indwelling of Christ in the body of every believer in the church age? Your body. How much greater is the fact Jesus Christ is indwelling your body. 5. In verse 27, the hope of glory is the spiritually mature believer's confidence. When you attain teleos, you advance all the way to spiritual maturity. In verse 27, the hope of glory is the spiritually mature believer's confidence. Once you cross that finish line and attain spiritual maturity, you have confidence. Why? Because you know God. You know the Word of God. And when you know God and the Word of God, that gives you confidence. Confidence. You don't not hope like, oh, I hope so. You're the stupidest thing, people. Are you saved? I hope so. I hope none of you never say something that stupid. But you ought to know, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're saved. You have eternal security. Anybody ask me, are you saved? I'll tell them absolutely. Hell yes, I'm saved. Oh, I guess I'd say, heaven yes, I'm saved. Of course I'm saved. I place my faith in Jesus Christ. Anyone who simply places his faith in Christ, he has eternal salvation. You bet I'm saved. Not only that, I have confidence that God has the most fantastic blessing for me in time and for all eternity. Absolute, total confidence. I'm just looking forward to, well, right now, those fantastic blessings in time. But you know what? I am looking so much forward to eternity, being face to face with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever, and having those greater grace blessings awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, crowns and rewards for those winner believers, spiritually mature believers. And I have confidence, and I hope you all have confidence. Confidence not only in the blessings God has for you now in time, but confidence in the blessings God has for you for all eternity. So, in verse 27, the hope of glory is the spiritually mature believer's confidence that he will receive the greater grace blessings, which will glorify God both in time and glorify God in eternity. 6. Christ indwells us, also for the purpose of motivation. When you come to know that and learn that, as we have seen these passages of the indwelling of Christ, when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that He does indwell you, well then, Christ indwells us also for the purpose of motivation. What greater motivation can there be than Jesus Christ dwelling inside of you? The eternal Son of God, who, when God the Father designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross, God the Son, Jesus Christ, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And so on that very first Christmas, the eternal Son of God left heaven. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, He came into the world free from Adam's imputed sin, free from the inherent sin of the old sin nature, proceeded to live a life on this earth totally free from personal sin, so that He was impeccable, sinless perfection, and therefore qualified to go to the cross. And He willingly went to the cross and received my sins and your sins and the sins of the whole world. And then He received the judgment for those sins. That's who is dwelling inside of you. The eternal Son of God that loved you so much, so much, He was willing to go to the cross and pay the penalty for all of your sins. And when you realize, when I realize that that eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, is dwelling in me after all he did for me, well, you know what? That motivates me. That motivates me to make good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Good decisions to advance the spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. He did everything for me. Everything for me. And you know what? That motivates me to want to give him the very, very best that I have and give everything for him. That's what we have here. What motivation. What fantastic motivation. 7. The indwelling of Christ motivates us to go all the way. All the way. And by the way, I encourage you all to keep praying for Cliff Abbott. He is having some real serious medical tests right now that he's going through. But last time I talked to him, he wanted to talk to me, and I said, Cliff, I don't know what God has in store for you. You are facing tremendous suffering here. But you are glorifying God. You are glorifying God by the way you're handling it. And I said on the phone, Cliff, how far are we going? And he yelled in the phone, all the way! I said, all right, all the way. And that's what I expect every one of you. I might say to you, how far are we going? I love to hear you say, all the way, all the way. So the indwelling of Christ motivates us to go all the way. Attain spiritual maturity, fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. That's going all the way. 8. This doctrine of the indwelling of Christ is vital to you. For security, for a guarantee, for motivation, and for capacity. For security, for a guarantee, for motivation, for capacity. So that was point 3. The indwelling of Jesus Christ relates to the Mysterion, the mystery doctrines of the church age, which specifically is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Point 4. The relationship between the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's point 4. The relationship between the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You see, we are indwelt by the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Here's the relationship between the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes your body a temple. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes your body a temple. There are no sacred buildings in the church age. In the age of Israel, there was tabernacle and temple. There are no sacred buildings in the church age. But God, the Holy Spirit, makes your body a temple. So there's a whole bunch of temples in here right now. Your body had been made a temple by God the Holy Spirit. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit provides a temple for the indwelling of Christ as the Shekinah glory. And this is taught by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know? And of course, the Corinthians, they didn't know almost everything. So when he says, do you not know? I mean, Paul is going, no, I know you don't know. But anyway, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? They hadn't known it. They go, wow. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, again he says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes your body a temple for the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory. Secondly, the combination of the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the basis for the unique spiritual life of the church age. That unique spiritual life, Jesus Christ was the first one who lived it, and then he passed it on to all of us. He lived it first, demonstrates it works, and then he gave it to us. So from the combination of the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the basis for the unique spiritual life of the church age. And that's our verse. That's Romans 8:10. In fact, if Christ is in you, first class condition, and he is, on the one hand, the body is subject to death because of the sin nature, but on the other hand, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness, that is imputed righteousness at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. Subpoint three. From the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit, we learn about the indwelling of Christ. As the Shekinah glory. And this results in the transformation of our lives into the image of the glory of Jesus Christ. From the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit, we learn about the indwelling of Christ as the Shekinah glory. And this results in the transformation of our lives from glory to glory. And that is in a great passage, 2 Corinthians 3. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 3. We already studied 2 Corinthians 3. And you should have the corrected translation, but I'll give it to you again. 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 18. Verse 14, but the thinking in their hearts, who's there? Their hearts is the Exodus generation. So this is, in context, the Exodus generation. But the thinking in their hearts, the Exodus generation, was hardened. Hardened is scar tissue of the heart. They had scar tissue on their heart. For until this very day, which Paul is writing, 57 AD, the same veil remains unlifted. It has not been removed. during the careful analysis and exegesis of the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Law, they continued to say no to salvation by grace through faith in Christ. Because it, the veil of scar tissue, is removed in Christ by means of faith in Christ. Verse 15, in fact, to this very day, whenever Moses, the Mosaic Law, is carefully analyzed and exegeted, a veil of scar tissue covers their heart. But, verse 16, whenever anyone changes his thinking and turns to the Lord, faith in Jesus Christ, the veil of scar tissue is taken away. It's removed. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, spiritual freedom. Verse 18, but we all, royal family of God of the church age, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, beholding as in a mirror the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, that is Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. That's a great, great passage. All right. Well, that brings us to point five, but you know what? We're going to, point five is you got to take a test. Some of you probably won't be back for the next class because you don't want to take a test. You're too tired of flunking those tests, you know. No, you don't have to. There is a test you need to take, but you have to do that all on your own. So we'll take a break, give you a little bit of time out there for some refreshments, come back in about 15 minutes for part two, and we'll start at point five.